against God. We'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. This is from New International Version. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Praise the Lord. Just want to minister a little bit on he anointed us, the anointing. As we know, anointing breaks the yoke. Anointing even destroys the yoke. Once the yoke is broken, that yoke has no stability. And that yoke will eventually crumble and will be destroyed. The effect of the anointing upon our life is that deliverance in our life. Praise the Lord. When Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he was well aware of the fact that the Corinthians, who were Gentiles, who were bound in blind beliefs, in traditions, in all sorts of bondage in them. So he's confirming through the Word of God, not only to the Corinthian church, but to all those who believe that the power of the anointing is upon us. So it is a very positive statement that he anointed us. The word anoint means to pour, or to rub, or to smear. You can have many such meanings. But here, let's focus on the word pour. In the Old Testament days, when the anointing took place on the king, on the priest, even on the prophet, there was an anointing of the pure olive oil. When that olive oil, prepared oil, with all sorts of incense, if you look at Exodus chapter 30, verse 20 to 25, no, you don't read that, but let me just quickly read the recipe of the anointing. That oil was so prepared that it was so rich in these ingredients, such as 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, as much 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, and all according to sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil, about 4 liters. Make these unto a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a performer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Now, I don't know whether any of these ingredients that are mentioned has a spiritual meaning in it or not. But that is not what is important. When that anointing oil was poured on the person, whether it is a king or a prophet or a priest, he is a different person. Glory to God. When Saul was made the king of Israelites, he was an ordinary man. As we read, he was looking for the lost donkeys. But when Samuel poured that anointing oil on him, Saul is no longer that man who is looking for the donkeys. Samuel told them, the donkeys that you're looking for will be found. You are a different man from now on. If the anointing oil of the Old Testament was so powerful in bringing the transformation in a person, how much more, people of God, the anointing that we have received through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, glory to God. The anointing that was received in the Old Testament was more of physical external. It was more of ritualistic. But the anointing that we have is spiritual. It is internal. It has a great spiritual meaning in our life. Hallelujah. That's why Apostle Paul is writing to them. He anointed us. Praise the Lord. With an anointing comes the freedom. We have to feel the anointing, not externally, but internally. Hallelujah. It's anointing the entire being. A change in our walk with God. Glory to God. He anointed us. If you turn with me real quick to 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. This is the effect of the anointing oil upon Saul. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. That is the key. Saul will be changed into a different person after that anointing, that is anointing oil, poured upon him. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hands finds to do, for God is with you. Amen. That anointing is the key in our life. We should remind ourselves in our walk with God every day, the anointing is in us. You will be discouraged. There is a voice that defeats you all the time. But you must also remember, there is a power that is given to you to defeat that force that you're fighting with. Glory to God. As we heard today, we wrestle not against the flesh and the blood. We wrestle against the principalities, the powers and authorities of this wicked spiritual, Philip puts this way, from the very headquarters of the spiritual forces. This is quite a paradoxical. How can you fight with spiritual forces? You must remember that there is always a force which is not seen in our eyes, but there is a force trying to press us down from going upward. We may sense it. Don't ignore it. I'm not trying to caution you, cause some fear, but I want to tell you this. We have a fight every day if we are walking with God. Hallelujah. Our spiritual warfare is there. Don't tell me you do not have any warfare to do. We do have a warfare, but one consolation we have is God fights our battles. Glory to God. But in order to feel that God fights our battles, you should have that assurance, that internalization of the anointing in your being. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, I think. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Glory to God. Now this is the promise to those who believe that he has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, meaning as a down payment regarding the inheritance that you will be able to partake of until such time comes. Now, I begin to think this way. If we rejoice so much now with the down payment that has been given to us, how much more will be the joy in the kingdom of God when all the payment is made? We are in the transition period where we are only at a place where the down payment is made. Hallelujah. That Holy Spirit is given to you and you are sealed. There is a seal on you. You believe it or not. Hallelujah. That seal is not external. It is not like a mole on your foot or on your arm anywhere. This is a different seal by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. I know it's the first night. I know we are all tired. But, you know, I think there's something exciting. There's something exciting about the divine seal that is upon us. People talk about the sign of the beast in the last days. They make a big issue, a big talk about that. But what about the divine seal that is already in you, people of God? Hallelujah. That seal is able to be more powerful than any other seal man can label on your life. Because that a divine seal of ownership. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament days, we read, at the end of the sixth year, if a slave wants to continue with the master, he has to show his ear. Let me read that for you so that we will all know exactly what I'm talking about. Deuteronomy. Somewhere, I hope I'll get that now. Deuteronomy 15. I'm talking about the mark. Chapter 15, verse 16. But if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you because he loves you and your family is well off with you. Okay? Then, if that loyalty is genuine, if that loyalty is sincere, I'm just adding those words there, then take in all, I don't know if it's pronounced right, A-W-L, and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. This is the mark of a servant in the Old Testament days. Apostle Paul mentions about himself, that I am a bonded slave to Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Now here, Apostle Paul again says, he has marked with that seal of ownership on you, not as a slave, but as a member of his body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That seal is a protection from this world, if I may say so. If you're aware of that, that you are sealed by that divine hand in you, saying, you are my son, my ownership is on you. You don't belong to yourself, you belong to God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Because it is not only he redeemed you by shedding his blood on the cross, but also by giving that Holy Spirit to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And by that, he made you more intimate. Glory to God. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, I chose you. Or you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. This is a special place of ownership in the household of Christ, people of God. That divine seal is upon us. And he has marked on us. That is a mark. That seal is upon us, people of God. I want to tell you something. In the Old Testament days, the Old Testament, after Cain killed his own brother, Abel, he was so afraid. He says to God, whoever will see me will kill me. Let's read Genesis chapter 6. Chapter 4. Verse 13 and 14. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I'll be restless, wander on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. I'm just trying to give an example how the mark of God, the seal of God, will protect you not only from your enemies, but how that will be a defense in your Christian life, if you are aware of it. But the Lord said to him, 15th verse, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times more. And look at this. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. People of God, somehow these days I am meditating on this line about the anointing. With the anointing, the seal of ownership, with the anointing, that deliverance, with the anointing, that big release, we are able to feel, we are able to experience in our life, people of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalms chapter 133, verse 1 to 3. Again here. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Again, that anointing somehow, that completely being anointed, psalmist is comparing to the unity among the brethren. Hallelujah. The anointing is able to bring that unity as well. If we are all under the same anointing, there is the unity among us. By the way, there is only one anointing. There aren't different anointings. We can sense it by the Spirit, can't we? Glory to God. I pray that we all remain under the same anointing and feel the same unity. Wherever we go, praise the Lord. And the comparison is so good. It is like precious oil poured on the head. That's how normally it is done. Pouring, Samuel poured oil on Saul's head, David, and then you read Elijah on Elisha, and you can read all those things in the book of Kings. Now, on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah. That's where the Lord bestows life. Anointing brings life. Amen. I told you at the beginning, anointing breaks the yoke. Glory to God. Anointing brings life. Oh, glory to God. There is no doubt. When the divine master puts his mark on you, that divine life is brought in your life. Don't you think so? Oh, hallelujah. When Cain was running for fear, when God put that mark on him, there came a peace in his heart. The word of God says he settled down in a place called Nord, east of Eden. What does it tell us, people of God? Anointing brings peace. I just pray that we all remain under that anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. That anointing makes you whole. If there is the anointing in our life, there is a sense of incompleteness. You don't feel full. There is some emptiness. Tonight, I wanted to really pray that this series of meetings will fill our lives with an anointing that comes from heaven above. It is not one-time anointing. It's an ongoing process in our lives if you're willing to accept it. Amen.